How did I make it all these years? How did I make it this far? Through the valleys and over the hills, I know it had to be God. How did I make it through the storm? How did I make it through the rain? If you wanna know just how I got here, it's so easy to explain. It was God's grace. Amazing grace. Yes, I'm
Deliver us from this body of death. But we give thanks to you, God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has redeemed us from our sin and saved us from ourselves. God, we thank you that on this special day we come to honor you in this house. And God, we understand even right now that it's because you're gracious and you are merciful unto us, that you have given to us what we could not earn, could never deserve nor pay for. And God, at the same time, you've held back from us what we should have gotten because of your mercy. And God, we thank you. We celebrate Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is alive and he is well. We thank you for the position that he occupies, sitting at the right hand, making intercession for us right now, having finished his work here. We thank you, God, that we're active in his kingdom assignment. And God, not only that, on this day, we celebrate the institution of motherhood. There's nothing in this world quite like the love of a mother for her children. She nurtures and she cares for them, prays for them, and keeps them in line and watches them grow. And God, we thank you for that privilege that you've given to some in this room to raise their children and see them prosper. We ask and pray, God, that for those who remember with fondness of a mother who's gone on to be with you, that they would understand her legacy, her teaching, her wisdom lives through them. The decisions that they make and the life's choices that they entertain all reflect her guidance and her love. May each choice not only bring her glory and honor, but bring you glory and honor, God. God, we pray today that every mother would be encouraged through this word. We pray, God, for your saints, for the household of faith, to be duly charged with the assignment that comes from heaven. Use this vessel of clay for your glory. Extract out of it all you ordained for this moment. We'll give you all glory, praise, and honor. It's in the name of Jesus the Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. We greet you in the name of the risen Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Anybody glad you know Jesus? Amen. Amen. I'm glad I know Jesus. We give honor to God the Father and to his Holy Spirit, our guide and our comforter in this place on today. To our pastor emeritus in his absence and his family, and to your first family, and to the official staff of this great church, and to all of you, the Father's children. It's good to be in this place on today. Amen. We take just a second to say Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers who are here on today. And if you're here with your children, if you don't mind just standing for a moment. Amen. Any mothers who are here and have your children here with you. Amen. 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 We celebrate you on today in this house of the Lord. We pray God's blessings upon you as you continue to lead, guide, and nurture those that God has entrusted unto you. Amen. Amen. I have been excited about this ever since the Lord gave it to me, so I'm going to run right into it right now. Those of you who have your Bibles, join us in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, very familiar passage of Scripture there, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses number 5 and number 6. And I'm coming from the King James Version, and you can follow along in whatever version that you have. From the King James Version, you'll find these words quoted. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You may be seated. A call to remembrance, the unfeigned faith that is in you, Timothy, which was first in your grandmother, Lois, also in your mother, Eunice. And then Paul says, I am persuaded, or I am convinced, I am settled in this fact based upon the evidence that I see, that it is also in you. I want to talk from this particular thought on this Mother's Day 2017 from generation to generation. From generation to generation. My brothers and sisters, motherhood is, as we all know, it is a great blessing. And not just to have had a mother, and we know that none of us would be here if we didn't have a mother and a father, but not just to have someone who went through labor pains and gave birth to you and brought you into the world, that's a blessing in itself. But in even greater sense, to have a godly mother is another blessing on top of that. And I know that you may argue and say, well, Pastor, I didn't get to choose who I got as a mother. And from a comedic perspective, I want you to also understand that your mother didn't get to choose who she had as a child. And so the reality is you're kind of stuck with what God has given you with. And you have to make the best of the situation where you are. And I want to encourage you, as tough as your mother may have been and as hard on you as mother was, if you have had an in-place influence, do you hear what I'm saying? Someone who was there in place, not serving and telling you what to do from somewhere else. But if you have had a great influence in your life that was in place in your life has already been greatly prospered. You may not have always appreciated her voice, but I want to tell you that when you really have things in your life that matters, there's nothing in this world quite like a mother's voice. And for those saints in here whose mother's voice God has silenced through the grave, you would help somebody to understand you must learn to appreciate the voice of that mother while you have it. I wish I had some help in here. I heard someone say, I heard Miss Laura say earlier that regardless of how long we have our mothers, when they leave us, it always seems to be too soon. And many of you are here right now on the prayers and on the words of your mother as she gave you wisdom. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't hang with that crowd. Don't be over there. Be in the church and be around God's people because you had a godly influence. You ought to put your hands together. You ought to celebrate the fact and thank God that I had an influence that was in place. You need to be thankful because everybody that has a baby doesn't mean they're going to take care of it and raise it. And because your mother did not walk away from you, did not put you up for adoption, did not have an abortion because she went through the process, whether she was married or single, and kept you and raised you, fed you, and put clothes on your behind, put food in your belly, lights in the house, a roof over your head. I got any witnesses in here? You ought to thank God that you had somebody in your life that was willing to do all of that and sacrifice themselves to make sure you had. Baby, don't get it twisted because you think that since you arrived, you're all of that in a bag of chips. Mama had to make some adjustment and movements in her life in order to make things possible for you right now. So we must never forget that to have a mother is a blessing in your life. What does Proverbs 31 tell us about a good mother? It tells us that she is a blessing to her own household and to her family. To her husband, he doesn't worry about her because he puts all of his trust and confidence in her. Whatever brought into the house, she makes the best of it. Her frugality, her diligence in the things that have been put in her hands makes home a beautiful place for her husband and for her children. When he goes out in the gates, he's not ashamed of her because they don't have any words about her that are ill spoken. There's no bad report about a good mother because she's not focused on the streets. Her interest is in her own house. The Bible says in Proverbs 31 also that her children grow up and are raised up and they call her blessed. How do they call her blessed? Well, they call her blessed by the life that they lead when they are grown. The choices that they make are the result of her wise tutelage in their life. And that's how they bless her. They bless her as they prosper and go forth in God's purpose in their own lives. She tends to the affairs of her own household. She's not messy like Housewives of Atlanta. Y'all, that's your show. She's not always caught up in a scandal. She is not focused on building an empire. She's focused on building the kingdom. I'm talking about a godly woman. I know y'all may not know much about that, but I'm talking about a godly woman. She's focused on those things. Her children grow up and they bless her life. Well, by the time we arrive at Paul's letter to 2 Timothy, which was a very personal letter, a little more personal than his first letter to Timothy was, Paul is writing and he says in verse 2, he refers to this boy, Timothy, as a son in the faith, a beloved son in the faith. And he thanks God that this young man that has had, as some believe, his faith is the result of Paul's preaching on his first missionary journey there to a place called Lystra. That's right. Paul says, I greatly long to see you, for I am mindful of your tears, Timothy. In other words, he says, I know the thing that you, son, have had to go through, but I also celebrate the fact that God brought you through those things. And so Paul says, I want to see you so that we can celebrate your survival and have joy because the Lord has been faithful to one who has been faithful to him. And Paul says, I cannot forget the demonstration of your unfeigned faith. This word unfeigned, anupokritos, sounds like the word we get hypocrite. So what Paul says, that when I watch you, Timothy, now, I notice that there is something sincere about your faith. In other words, you're not putting on a show. You're not like this on Sunday morning when you're dressed up, and then Sunday afternoon or Monday, you're somebody else. Paul said there's something that's flowing through you that's real, that's genuine, that's personable. And Paul says, I long to be in your presence. Well, the reason why Paul is so excited about this boy, Timothy, is because as he looks at him now, he's looking at what was once a little boy. And here's why I want to press my claim for mothers and grandmothers in here. He's looking at a man that has grown up and has matured in the faith. A man that has transitioned from being a little boy to now a leader in the church of God. How does a little boy, how do little girls grow from that small little type that's over in children's church? How do they transition in life from being in that place to being what Timothy was, a leader for the Lord? Well, I want to press you here. The fact is, they did not get there by themselves. They had some aid. They had to have some assistance in their life. They had to have somebody willing to pour into them.
That's right.
I thank God that Paul, as a good pastor, had poured into him. I thank God for people like probably Barnabas, who was with Paul on his first missionary journey, that had poured into him. But that was when they were outside of the house. And you teachers can tell the truth in here and shame the devil, that you can do all you can in 7 hours while they're at school. But if they go back to a hellish environment, all that you have done at school is for naught, because they're going right back to an unhealthy, unstable, and unlikable environment. And so how does Timothy, this little boy that had been a convert of Paul's preaching, grow from that little boy to a strong man? Did he have money that paid his way? No, he didn't have money. I don't know. Did he have great friends that could push him and open up? I don't know if he had all of those. But what I do know is that he had a wise grandmother and a wise mother.
That's right.
Can I ask you this question? And when you consider where you used to be as a little child and where you are now, look at yourself. You're a deacon on the deacon board. You're in the choir. You are a minister of the gospel. You're serving in the sound booth. You're standing at the door. When you consider where you are, do you ever think about who helped you get there? Who was it that was praying for you? Who was it that was covering you and teaching you and guiding you even when you did not want to go that way? Look at this text. First thing you notice, I see I'm in the way of you getting to the restaurant today, and so I don't want to be in your way, but I do want to charge you duly, because I don't want to be in trouble with him.
Yes,
first thing is, these ladies launched their legacy at a place called Lystra or Lustra. To understand this, you have to go to Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 2. It says to us there, from the English Standard Version, Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a Jewish woman, but her husband was a Greek. Don't miss that. She was a Jewish woman that believed in Jesus, But her husband was a Greek. That looked like an obstacle already. But here's the thing. Timothy, he was well spoken of by the brothers there at Lystra and Iconium. They spoke of him because he had a godly mother in his home by the name of Eunice. It was also believed that Lois, his grandmother, had lived a long time in this city as well. And so he did not have wild, scandalous women in his house and in his name, in his family name. He had people who loved the Lord and were respected in the city where they lived. Their legacy was the name of Jesus Christ is where we are. And how do you know that Timothy had so much respect for his mother? Keep reading in verse 3. There it says to us that this boy, Timothy, was willing to be circumcised by Paul in order to continue on the missionary journey and the work that God had called him. Now, the men in this city, the text says, knew that his father was a Greek. In essence, the people in the city knew that his daddy wasn't no good. Knew that his daddy wasn't in church. Knew that his daddy was not going to contribute to his raising from a spiritual perspective. But his mother filled the space, and his willingness to be circumcised, which was really uncommon, which suggested that he didn't have a problem identifying not only with her heritage, but he wanted to identify with her faith and her practice. So what you're saying is that in the home, there was one who was not a believer, but the one who was, which was not the head of the house, but which was the one under subjection, yet she had the authority and had the willpower that her baby was going to know who Jesus was. Oh, y'all kind of quiet in here. Some of you have been in some houses. Some of you have raised some children where there was this difference. There was this disconnect there. And I hope to God that you are in the place like Eunice was, and you're making a difference in such a way where your child would rather identify with the one who believes rather than be considered just a Greek. Now, Greek in the right place where they live would have gotten him some privileges outside the house. But as he considered where he wanted to be spiritually, he was more interested in the privileges he got on the inside of the kingdom. Oh, y'all missed it. Sometimes we get too caught up in the perks and the privileges on the outside of the house that really don't matter, and we neglect the responsibility of those things that have eternal value. He chose to identify with mama. That's right. We don't know whether daddy ever got around to it, but it would have been really hard living in that kind of house if mama is pushing Jesus and that baby boy pushing Jesus. Look like you got your curly locks, got your pretty eyes and all that stuff, but then also got your Jesus living on the inside of him. Let me tell you that as a parent, some people will say, I'm not going to push my baby that way. I'm not going to make my baby go to church. The greatest part of my legacy is that when I'm dead and gone, is to know that my children and my children's children and my children's children's children are still in the same place, whether preaching or not, but still serving the Lord and standing for his righteousness. Say what you want to. That's my legacy. I want it to be known that my babies were influenced by the life that I live. And as a mother, you have the first level of influence. That's why you can't wait till they get 5 and get in kindergarten and try to correct them and try to teach them. You better put a switch and a belt on that behind when they start talking and telling you, no, I ain't going to do it, and I'm not going to sit down. You better start learning how to fan the flame of that belt. Let me tell you what, because if you don't, Jeff Sessions told y'all last week that he ready to go backwards and take us backwards a few years and put all of them in jail. They'll build a bigger jail to hold those bad babies, but I'd rather build a place. Jesus in my own house. We complain about that one woman who took prayer out of school, but she don't have any power at 111 Populous Drive. She ought not have any power at your address. You teach them how to pray. You pray for them. You teach them about Jesus. That's your responsibility. We want to pass the buck. Everybody want to pass the buck, and he says that this woman had a legacy where she took the onus upon herself that I'm going to teach my baby about Jesus. Paul understood the dynamics of this woman's house. And I believe Paul marveled, because Paul says, I credit his mother and grandmother with his conversion to the Christian faith. In other words, they lived it, but here's what they also did. Here's what they also did. They had to have a knowledge of the word of God to adequately and rightly divide it so this baby could catch it and understand it and then apply it to his own young life and mature in it. Women, you've got to be word students.
That's right.
We want to be everything else, but you need to be in the word. You need to be raising these babies according to the word that you understand and are applying, and you are instructing them in their lives as you are living before them with your own.
Yes, yes.
No, we don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear that. That means you got to diligently study the word. It's not just, oh, I'm in a jam, I got to get out of my jam and get it. You need to be consistently in there, because the enemy is always trying to trap your baby and to close him in and to cut them off. And a wise mother stays two steps ahead of the devil by her prayer, number one, and her interest in the word of God, which reveals where the snare and where the trap really is. So you're dealing with some stuff unnecessarily because you wasn't watching in an earlier season. You understand spiritual warfare. The enemy sees your seed as his prize. If he can disrupt and cut off your seed, he has cut your name in essence out of the earth and out of the blessing of God in the future generation. That's why you got to be concerned about what longer than your 70 years or your 80 years, and be concerned about down the line. Since his father was not a contributor in his spiritual development, should his mother and grandmother have let him lack and lag because they said, well, you know, your daddy, he just ain't around. I don't know what we're going to do. No. They said, we're going to pick up these pieces and we're going to teach this baby. He's going to change the dynamics of our family. Regardless of what I inherited, I'm going to change this baby so that he does not practice the same thing that he has seen. He is going to be different because of Christ. And so they decide to pour, and they poured early. And when you learn to pour early, you'll see some fruit.
That's right.
Think about this. Some mothers may wait till they're 40 and 50 years old. The baby is 30 years old to start praying, Lord, change him, turn him around, do all this stuff. It may be beyond your lifetime. Praise God that he does have power to change, but you may not see it. But if you start early, there's a greater likelihood that you're going to be able to rejoice over some fruit while you're in the land of the living. I want my babies to prosper after I'm gone. And mothers, you want your babies to do good after you're gone. But isn't it not also a blessing when you can see them doing good right now? When you can go and visit their house and God is blessing and God is protecting and God is providing for their every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You will throw your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. They understand what I already know, and that God is faithful. You want to see the fruit while you're in the land of the living, so you better learn how to pour. And their legacy was not lost on this boy.
Yeah.
Listen, the greatness of these women was not tied to their sexy. It had nothing to do with what they wore or how it fit when they wore it. Lord, help me in here today. It had everything to do with how they carried themselves. It had everything to do with how successful their seed was in succeeding them in this faith walk. It was not in talking the language of the latest lingo, but it was in knowing the language of the life-changing Logos. It was not in how their hair and nails were always ready, but it was in their hope and their joy. It was not how their face and their makeup were always on fleek, that it was still cool and popular. But it was really in the Father's faith and the make of his will that they were seeking. That's where their success, that's where their greatness came in. They were concerned about what mattered the most. According to Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he says, Paul reminds him, he says, from a child and from a youth, watch this, this baby didn't just know all the words to Tupac's song. The baby didn't know all the dance moves of the latest hip-hop dance. The baby didn't just know all of the cute fairy tales and all the nice movie lines. But he says in verse 15 of chapter 3 that from a child you have known the scriptures. Help me, Holy Ghost. From a child, you have been exposed to the deepest and the most intimate details of the Word of God. And as you live, God makes it alive.
That's right.
You think they don't know. My baby can't comprehend on it. Let me tell you something. If your two-year-old baby can stand in front of a TV and can watch a video, a music video, and 2 minutes later quote every word on point and in place of that song they just heard, they can comprehend more than what you think. And as a matter of fact, they're smarter than you are. I was amazed. My youngest son, about 2 years old, put the TV remote in his hand. He knew exactly what to do with it. They understand more than what you think. And what really frustrates us more than anything is if you really get too deep, your baby, let's just be honest, your baby is really going to embarrass you by what they really do know. They'll come home from Sunday school and start asking you questions that you don't have an answer to. Mama, where did Jesus come from? Mama, where did Noah go to? Where did all these things happen in the Bible and you throw up your head? That's why.
That's right.
Don't send them. Bring them.
Right.
We have adult classes here too. That's just a plug for Sunday school. Don't just send them. Bring them and stay so that you can stay ahead.
See, the
law of leadership is that you cannot go any higher than the one who's leading you. And so you're the one that's really put the cap on your house, because you're not more intimate in your own study. And so when your babies come, you're going to do one of two things. They're going to intimidate you to where you quit coming, or you're going to try to back them down from going further because you want to remain comfortable where you are. Paul says, Timothy, you not only knew this from a child, but then watch this. He said, and you knew the power of those words you read and you heard as it related to those things concerning salvation. In other words, this child could lead somebody else to Christ because of what he had been exposed to. I think about how my wife tells me and other teachers tell me how much hell is in the schools and the teachers have no control. Maybe the answer is some of these children that have been raised in Sunday school would go armed and equipped with the word, and they would be a witness to their classmates and to their peers, and they in essence have power to turn the school around from the inside out, rather than us running in every 4 or 5 weeks, every 3 or 4 months to give a word and pass out candy. They are there every single day, and they're with their peers, and they know the word. Expose them to the truth so that they can discern the power that it has to say, and your baby will open their mouth and tell their friends about Jesus. We ain't interested in that kind of stuff, though. Lord, don't go down there talking about Jesus. They're going to kick you out of school. They don't want you talking about Jesus. Somebody has to see the legacy that's on the line.
Here's what I love when we return back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. We see that this family has an uninterrupted flow of faith. As I move quickly, Paul says, I call to remembrance of faith that is in you, but it did not start with you. That was first in your grandmother, Lois, and is now was seen in your mother, Eunice. Paul says, I am convinced that it is in you. In other words, Paul says, when I look at you through these spiritual lenses, you look like somebody that's familiar to me. You look like somebody, you resemble some folks that I knew I once met and I could never forget. I see a familiar faith alive in you. The Lord gave me this acronym for faith, and when you think about your godly mother, these ought to be things that's present in her life. First of all, when you think about Eve, she was focused on fellowship. She was the preemptive example of submission in the household. First and foremost, she was faithful and she was submissive to Christ as her Lord and Savior. But then not only that, she understood the way God had things set up. And so as she was submissive to Christ, secondly, she was submissive to her own husband. Then thirdly, she was submissive to the duties of her household. In other words, she didn't lay in the bed all day and watch TV. She didn't sit on the couch and waste time. She was diligent to the duties. She submitted herself to be a servant in her own household. She was focused on fellowship. But not only was she focused on fellowship, she had actions that affirmed alignment. Her alignment with the Holy Spirit. In other words, she lived the life daily, every day, all day. Your mother was faithful. As she followed Christ, her actions were not do as I say, not as I do. She was showing you as she was teaching you. Her Holy Spirit-led life has an impact on your life. But only when she focused on fellowship and her actions affirmed alignment. Thirdly, she invested in you through intercession. There's nothing quite like a mother's prayer. That mother doesn't care what her baby looks like or what her baby gets caught up in. She is praying. She is the first prayer warrior for her babies. Amen. You ought to be praying for and covering your babies every single day of their life. Not only was she a follower, not only was she affirmed through her actions and interceding as she invested in her babies, she taught you the truth. What she knew about God, she told you.
Right.
Simply put, she taught you the truth of God's word. And in 8, she was helpful in your hurts. She held your hand and walked you through the trials of life. If you had that in your life, Paul says, I see that faith of those individuals in you. That's a reason to be thankful today. Lois, his grandmother's name meant better, more desirable. Wisdom and honor. She's better because she's better positioned now in life. She's not changing diapers. She's not having to feed you every day. Just every now and then when you stay after school. She's better experienced. She's better settled in her life. She's just better all around. I thank God because this grandmother, and you grandmothers here, you need to hear me. She did not take a hands-off or a watch and see approach or posture when it came to her grandchild Timothy. You may say, I don't want to get in the middle of that. I don't want to bother them. But listen, she was concerned that her teaching took hold in the next generation. And so when she saw things that were out of order and out of line, you have the responsibility, grandmother, to not only correct grandbaby, but to correct your child.
Right. Right. That's right.
My father used to tell us, I felt that when I got grown, I had my own house, my own roof, I had my own rules. He said, son, I'm daddy in my house, and I'm daddy in your house. I I don't pay any bills. I don't make any changes. But you're going to respect. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're going to respect me for who I am, and I'm better positioned to tell you because I not only have the battle scars, but now I've got the testimony of surviving some stuff you are yet to experience, and so you would be wise to listen. Too many grandmothers have checked out and said, I raised mine, I'm through. This is the generation you've got to be the next lowest, and you got to say, no, I'm getting right in the middle of my baby's life. She wanted to make sure that what she had taught her daughter showed up in little Timmy and carried on, had a chance to survive to the next generation. She wanted to make sure that Timothy had obtained an intimate knowledge of the Word of God, and all of those things became a part of him. She didn't pass on any generational curses to her daughter, only faith. And regardless, we don't know what happened before Lois, but regardless of what she had placed in her hand, she passed on faith. Listen, in every family, there is a first generation of believers. Somebody started the trail of faith. You don't know what they had to go through. Grandmama and great-grandmama and great-great-grandmama had to go through to get to that point. But whatever it took, God brought them there, and they passed it on to you. Sometimes we pass curses. Because, now watch this, not because of what we're doing so much out in the world, but when you fail to inform the next generation, you leave them open and exposed to unnecessary heartache and breakdown. That's why we got to have Lois, who is better. Regardless of what you receive, you may be the first generation, but do it right and do it wisely and do it for the long haul and pass it to the next generation.
That's right.
Because watch what happens. Lois, name meaning better, more desirable. Eunice means victory or happily conquering. Happily conquering what? Here it was, a believing Jewish married to a Greek again, and the baby is a Christian. That's a great conquer in your own household.
That's right.
The devil got all kind of traps, all kind of plots tipped in your baby with everything in the world on the outside, but your baby is sustained and walking by faith. That's a victory in your own household.
That's right.
Here it is. Lystra, a place that was believed that had no synagogue for public instruction or worship. And so that means that everything that took place in this baby's life was not at a church, but at home.
That's right.
They had the whole weight on their shoulders at home. Their baby left out of the house, having been well taught, going outside the home, living out what mama and grandmother taught him. Because in this season, it's more important to some mothers to pass on less vital, less profitable stuff, less contagious stuff than the Holy Spirit. You got to notice these two women's attitude toward the scriptures. They did not disregard, disrespect, or disdain the scriptures. They held firm to that thing, and they were skillful in the word. You have a responsibility, woman of God, to be a student of the Word of God, to study it and teach it that you might convince your children and your friends. Those who don't do that are open to error. However, when you highly esteem the Word and you have a good grasp of doctrine, you can be like Lois and Eunice, a teacher of good things. Well, what kind of sons and daughters do better grandmothers and happily conquering mothers produce? Well, The kind of sons and daughters they produce are God-honoring sons and daughters. The name Timothy, Timeo, which means to honor, Theos, which means God, to honor God. When you have better grandmothers and conquering mothers, your babies will honor God. I think that the greatest honor and privilege that we can have as a parent is to have a child that glorifies God with their life. Paul says the acts of kindness, the fruits of the Spirit, the acts of service, the fortitude, the undying love for Christ and the church, the commitment to discipleship and the focus on evangelism are all present in Timothy. He says, I am convinced of this. And then I leave you with this. Verse 6 tells us that as we have been charged to remember the unfeigned faith that's within us, Paul says this is the season to stir up and to stretch forth so that sluggishness and stagnation don't set in. That's right. Well, he says, since you have all of this in your quarter, you got a praying grandmother and a praying mother that taught you all about the Lord and his goodness. Where will you go from here? He says, here is where I urge you and I push you. And I say to you children, you young Timothys in this house, we cannot afford to lose any ground. You cannot afford to create a gap in the faith that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, the reason why I'm putting you in remembrance of this is so that you remind yourself that you are to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. Paul says your family has a history of being servants of the Lord. And you need to be encouraged not to lose heart in your own season of service. Paul says, stir up the gift. Or in other words, fan the flame of what has been invested in you. For this generation, you've been called to serve. Your parents and your grandparents did not raise you just to sit down on the Lord. But what they put in you was for this season and this generation. Have I got a witness in here? And so Paul says, whatever God has called you to do, and whatever God has gifted you for, he says, it's time to move out and to move forth. And the trouble is that in most cases, even though we had good training and good upbringing, been exposed to the truth of God's word, the reality is when our time comes, many of us are still waiting as if something else is supposed to come. But I simply tell you that it's time to live out the teaching and to live out what God has allowed to be poured into you. And then sometimes you may feel that you don't have enough to serve in the present generation. But I remind you, like Peter and John in Acts 3, when they said, silver and gold we have not, but what I have in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. All I'm trying to tell you is it's time to get up and to celebrate what God is doing. I don't know about you, but I thank God I had a praying mother. And I thank God I had two praying grandmothers. My grandmothers have gone on to be with the Lord. But I remember my maternal grandmother used to tell all of her grandchildren, babies, y'all be sweet. And all she was really saying to us was, remember the love of Christ at all times. hurts in your life, and when folks are mean to you, remember to love them. And even when you're tempted to do wrong, remember the love of Christ constrains you and it holds you where you need to remain. I don't know about you, but I thank God for praying mothers. And I thank God for some praying grandmothers. I remember times in my life I wanted to do my own thing, but my mother was standing in the gap. And sometimes, not just in the gap, but standing in my way. Well, you say, preacher, how was she standing in your way? I was too big for her physically. I probably had enough strength in my body to run over her and to head on to where I wanted to go. But one place she learned how to match and exceed physical strength. She understood that on her knees she could intercept and interrupt my plans to destroy myself. And I thank God that rather than fuss, she learned how to put it in the hands of the Lord. Have I got a witness? I thank God that my grandmothers and my mother gave me Jesus, taught me that he came through 42 generations, born in a Virgin Mary, laid in a manger, went across the countryside, healing the sick and raising the dead, feeding the hungry. And one Friday evening, they didn't forget to tell me he went out yonder on a cross and he died there. On that cross, they laid him in a borrowed tomb, and they told me he got up with all power. I thank God they didn't have a lot of money, but they gave me Jesus, and I'm still living by the grace of God. And because he lives on the inside of me, and not only that, they taught me that before I go to sleep, the first prayer my mother taught me, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, I'm so glad that maturity, I'm so glad that life grew my prayers. I don't pray that prayer anymore, but because I had a foundation, whatever I need, when I need it, I go to God and I ask in faith, and he will, I said he will answer. I'm so glad when I can't reach mama, she taught her baby how to pray. And so therefore, I pray anybody else in this room today, don't mind celebrating. I had a mother like that. I had a grandmother like that. I thank God that the church house is filled with women who have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them. They're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I thank God that since I've been here, I've had to say bye to some faithful mothers. I think about Miss Louise Petty. I think about Miss Maudine Harlan. I think about Miss Carmen Burks, who had no biologicals but had a whole lot of spirituals. I think about Miss Levis Ashby. I think about Darlene Woodard. And I think about Miss Peaky High, and there are others in this house. When your life is over one day, what will be in the next generation that you passed on to them? Your money, we
will get funny and your change will get strange. They're going to spend it all and they'll fight over the rest. Your house, somebody else will live in. Your bed, somebody going to sleep in. And your food, somebody else will eat. And your clothes, you can't wear them all in the grave. But oh, I tell you today, that something on the inside of you called faith, it endures unto every generation. When mama is in the grave, her faith passes on, passes on, passes on, passes on. And I celebrate every mother that's walked with the Lord, every mother that's cried over her babies, every mother who took a sacrifice to make life better. Just understand, God sees you where you are, and he will bless your life. From generation to generation, we got something to pass to the next generation. I know you may say, I don't have much, but all that I have, you ought to give it to your children. Every now and then, they ought to see you walking through the house singing, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, and let me stand." They ought to hear you saying, "Thank you for the sun, thank you for the rain. Through it all, I've learned, oh shucks, I've learned how to tell God thank you. And through it all, I've learned how to depend on the Lord." If you're not ashamed and you got a good mother, slap your neighbor a high five and tell him, "Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I had somebody in my life. I had somebody in my life when the world against me. I had somebody in my life that would pray with me and told me to run on a little while longer, because God is walking by your side." Y'all ain't slapped no high fives. You ought to tell somebody, "I'm glad I had somebody in my life that prayed for me. I thank God I had a mother and two grandmothers that brought me to church, that told me about Jesus. And now, when my life is over, I will see their face in glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." From generation to generation, from generation to generation, you have something to offer. You better have two pennies to put together. But if you have faith, you have the most important thing. Listen, I want to extend an invitation right now. First and foremost, to those of you